Hi there! Before we dive into this episode, we wanted to share some news with you. If you have been a part of the Smart Habits for Translators community for a while, you have probably heard us mention our favorite project management tool quite a few times. We love using Asana and always recommend it to everyone we know. Between our client work, the podcast, personal projects, family activities, and volunteering, we have a lot going on, and Asana helps us stay organized and get things done. And no, this isn't an ad for Asana. We actually use the free version. We would love to show you how you can finally take the guesswork out of your day and avoid feeling like you're going nowhere fast.
So join us on Thursday, March 24th, 2022 from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time for a workshop on how to use Asana in your translation or interpreting business or any other area of your work or personal life. We'll show you how we set up our Asana workspaces, how to create projects and break them down into manageable tasks, assign deadlines, keep track of client work, marketing, personal tasks, and everything in between. All you need is the free version of Asana and 2 hours of your time, together with us and a friendly group of colleagues. This is perfect for you if you've recently attended one of our quarterly virtual business retreats and you're now trying to accomplish the goals that you set for yourself and your business. So go to smarthabitsfortranslators.com/Asana. That's smarthabitsfortranslators.com/ASANA to learn more and to grab your spot. We can't wait to see you on March 24th. And now, back to our episode. Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire. Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 60. It is February, and it feels like Christmas and New Year's Eve were a very long time ago. We both had an extremely busy January, so we're really feeling it now. So it feels appropriate to discuss the topic of taking time off, why it's important, how we do it, how to prepare for time off, how to come back to work without feeling overwhelmed, and most importantly, why it sometimes feels so difficult to take time off and how to change that. But before we dive in, let's share what's new with us. I've had a very busy start of the year, a lot of interesting translation and localization projects that have kept me very busy. And I'm also teaching a course on intercultural communication right now at Houston Community College, which is really fun, but also keeps me busy. And I recently came back from Los Angeles, where we visited the hotel and the conference site for this year's ATA annual conference and had a board meeting. And of course, I've been busy planning various ATA professional development events with colleagues as part of the professional development committee and working on a couple of personal projects. So overall, not much new, but a lot of work and a lot of activity. What about you, Madalena?
Yeah, I would say I totally agree with the fact that Christmas and New Year's feels like it was a really long time ago. And also, It's been an extremely busy January for me. I think I've not had a January like this in all of the years that I've been working as a translator.
Wow.
I mean, it's been good. It's been all very good work, but it has been, The volume has just been amazing, like compared to other years. Usually January can be maybe a little slow or it takes a week or two for people to, you know, jump back into it. But I had projects in January that had started in even December. And so some really fun things too. They were both large in volume and just like really cool topics. So I got to work with a couple of colleagues on two of them, which was really fun to do sort of a team effort there. I'm doing a lot more copywriting work for my clients now. And also some very interesting Portuguese projects that I think could be, you know, have a lot of impact for the companies that I'm working with. One of them particularly is about nutrition, and the other one is about environmental issues and societal issues and things like that culturally in Brazil. Yeah, so really interesting stuff. I'm also working, I'm continuing to work on my book, which I made a lot of progress on in January. Like, surprisingly, when we did our business audit together with the last group, it's been good. So with the last group in December, when we did our quarterly business audit with people who signed up, listeners of the podcast, one of the things I wanted to do was write three chapters of my book by the end of, I think I wrote February or March, I forget the exact date. And I've already written like four or five chapters. So I'm ahead of schedule. Yeah. I hope to keep that up. But yes, it's been good. And translation work has been flowing, and copywriting as well. And I'm teaching a couple of courses as well. So one just started. At the time this airs, it will have started, I believe, yesterday, February 14th, I think, is the start date for the copywriting course I'm teaching again for Training for Translators. This is a course I've taught before that some people asked me to if I was going to teach it again. So Corinne McKay, who runs Training for Translators, she and I said, hey, let's do this again. And then the other one is coming up this month. It's a masterclass on Google Ads for freelancers. So that should be fun, too. So a lot of good stuff going on, and the podcast, of course, which is always really fun. And so, yeah, I guess this is an important topic to discuss, taking time off.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I know. All right. So let's get back to it. We all know that time off is important, yet it's not something many of us allow ourselves to do very often or consistently. That's the key word, I think. And as someone who's interested in the topic of human resources and human resources management in particular, I see lots of articles written by HR professionals, and they describe how difficult it has become for people to detach from work and take time off because of the ongoing pandemic. There is an ongoing urgency to work more, work faster, become more efficient, more productive, to secure your job and your income. And more people started working from home, which made boundaries between work and personal life almost non-existent. For many, it feels like work is there waiting for them all the time. And as a result, people are exhausted and many are on the verge of burnout. And freelancers feel the same way. I found a study done by Honeybook in 2019 that shows that over 90% of the self-employed people that they surveyed said that they work on vacation, and 60% of them do it because they feel like they have to. And I think that the pandemic has made the situation even worse. I can certainly relate to that myself. As a freelancer, I feel that the past 2 years have affected my family and my work schedule a lot in various and unpredictable ways. And there's still this constant nagging feeling 2 years later that something might happen at any time. So I want to prepare for it and maybe work a little extra while I can. And with both kids at school, I've already had my fair share of seasonal colds and various icky viruses going around in our family. And as any parent knows, this sets you back and then you feel like you have to catch up. So I have had trouble hitting the pause button and taking some time to rest. And it's something I've always had to be very conscious of, and kind of it's never been easy for me to take time off. But now, especially on weekends, I have to consciously tell myself that I don't have to do anything right now. I can just rest and read a book or go outside for a long walk. For many years now, I have been trying to take every second Friday off, which is my husband's day off work as well. And it has been more difficult to do that lately, I feel. I had a period of time where it was a habit. Like I wouldn't work on, you know, every second Friday when my husband had a day off. Then I would take a day off too, and we would do something fun together. But now it feels more difficult to do, and it feels like there's always something urgent that needs to be done or something that I want to get done to get ahead. I even scheduled a day off recently, which turned out to be a fake day off. We talked about that because I booked it full of errands, meetings, and phone calls, and I really didn't feel rested at the end of the day. And the only exceptions lately have been the times when I took 2 or 3 weeks off last summer and for Christmas and New Year's, because it was a long break each time and I had family around and I was able to truly unplug from work and reset and feel that I'm taking care of, you know, myself and my family and not thinking about work, really. What are your thoughts on this, Madalena? Do you manage to take time off regularly?
Yes and no. I think like most people with the pandemic, the fact that we didn't travel for so long meant that we just didn't take off as much time in general. And I think there are studies on that actually that have come out, or at least articles. I'm pretty sure people, surveys have gone out on that. Like the fact that people didn't take time off so far through the pandemic because they couldn't travel or they didn't feel comfortable to travel, even maybe now. And I think we've talked about this perhaps in a previous episode, but it is really important to think about, like, if I can't travel, that doesn't mean I can't take time off. But it is, I agree with you, a little bit harder because, like you said about the weekends, because we work all week and we push really hard, right? And everybody's busy and everybody's on the go. And then the weekend comes and it's almost like we need something to trigger us to slow down or to tell ourselves, like, it's okay that you're not working today. You will work again on Monday, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, for a lot of people, it was also the fact that they lost a lot of work. So they felt that they needed to work more to make up for that time that they lost or the income that they lost. And I think that's valid. You know, I think that recognizing that is super valid and saying, hey, like, I need to make up for lost income, but I also need to be aware of what's too much and what's okay for me. I try to take off one work weekday every month. And which I think we're going to get to a little bit, but I'll just mention this now, is what I do is I schedule a reminder on my phone. So if you have an Apple phone, I'm sure it's the same for Android, there's a reminders app. And I just set a reminder each month to schedule my day off for the following month. Because if I don't do that with as packed as my schedule is with meetings and clients and ATA stuff and all that, I won't get a day off. Like a real day. And I do it on a weekday because, I mean, you're like me, you have two children, and I have one, and the weekends are still work at home, you know, like it's not the same as unplugging when you can actually take the day off for yourself by yourself, you know, that kind of a thing. Or like you said, with your husband every other Friday. So I think it's truly important to do that. I'm not always the best at it. Like I didn't really take a day off in January, but I did take a short trip to see my dad in January. So I was like, okay, I can count that as my time, even though I did work while I was seeing him. I wasn't actually on vacation. So I made a mental like note, like, this is not actually your vacation. You're visiting. And he had his own things going on. So while he was working on his stuff, I worked on mine. Or like I answered emails only at night, which I don't typically do. So even some people were like, I saw this email come from you at midnight. I'm like, yeah, no, it's just because I was catching up. I was not actually up late working that long. But, you know, it's that kind of thing. Like, you really do need to think very, very consciously, like, what am I doing and why? I think the why is super important. And knowing also the fact that you do need time off, and time off is very productive. It makes you more productive. It sounds very counterintuitive, right? But it actually makes you better at what you do because you're giving your brain a rest. And I heard this the other day, and then I'll stop going on and on about this, but I heard this the other day and somebody said, think about if you ever have watched a car race, like a, I don't know the names of the car races. So like, let's say the Indy 500 or one of those famous car races, and you know that they go a certain speed and they make a certain number of laps and then they make a pit stop and all the tires are changed and stuff like that. And it's not necessarily that they have to change them immediately, and they do it regularly, right? It's not like they wait until the car is falling apart. They do it because it makes them work more efficiently. Does that make sense? Yeah. So they actually take those frequent breaks that are scheduled, by the way, they are You know, it's not just that they decide all of a sudden, I think I'm going to stop over here. Right. And it makes them better. And it makes them much more efficient when they're racing around the track. So you could, you know, think of that sort of as a metaphor for what you do all week and the fact that you do need to make a pit stop from time to time on the weekend or taking a day off, or even if it's an afternoon off. But I'm the kind of person who has to schedule it, which I think we're going to get into as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's really vital to think about that. And so, I mean, we've already started talking about this, but I think we should also discuss just like why it's so important to take time off. And I know that you say this a lot about filling your own cup. And I think that's true, you know, both mentally and physically. We can take care of our bodies and our minds if we take time off, so that, as I was just saying, like we have the energy we need to take care of others or to take care of our businesses, our family, our children, our clients, or, you know, anybody who you care for in any capacity, parents, I don't know, you know, anything like that. Yeah. All these things that we feel like depend on us and need our attention and effort. Everybody needs a break, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I notice that when I take the time off, and if I do it regularly, even better, which is always my goal. And note to self, I need to set my day off for this month because we're almost halfway through and I have not, but I need to. Just that when I take the time off, I feel more present and mindful of what I actually need. Like when you slow down, you realize like, I feel so much better. And it's like, oh, what's why is that, right? Like, what is it that makes you feel better? Are you doing things that bring you joy? Are you reading more, if that's something you like to do? Are you eating better because you actually have time to make meals that, you know, are good for you? Are you getting more sleep? And sort of see like, what is it you're doing in your time off that makes you feel good? Are you just spending less time behind the screen? For me, that's a big one. So that's something that I think is important. And you know, it just has a total positive effect on your energy levels, especially taking that time to rest. Your mood could be improved by it. You can feel, I personally feel more creative. I do a lot of writing. And if you, translations also can be exhausting, but writing as well is a very creative thing. It takes a lot of mental energy, as does translation, obviously, like I said, but it's the type of work we do can be very mentally taxing. And
yeah,
we need to take those breaks for our minds, but also for, you know, physical health too, I think. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our work is mentally taxing, exhausting. I mean, interpreters too, that's just, it's a lot that is required of you and your body and your brain. So we definitely need it on a physical level. And I know it can be difficult to either schedule that time off or accept that you need time off, but your body will tell you, and you better not wait until your body's telling you but you know, take that break and rest, because once your body's telling you something, it's probably a little too late, and it will just take longer to recover. But I definitely feel, I agree with you, I also feel more creative. It's really hard to be creative, if not impossible, when you're tired, when you're exhausted. You just can't, you can't be creative, at least I can't.
Absolutely, yeah.
I feel more grounded after I have rested. I feel like I'm much more in tune with myself, my body, and my mind. And I feel that ideas are just streaming in. You know, I just feel lighter, happier. Enjoy the simple things around me more and just have more energy overall. So it's definitely something to hold on to, that kind of memory of how you feel after you have rested or as you are resting and recharging, and to remind yourself what you're missing when you're not resting. And I think that one of the most important effects of taking time off is that we feel more clarity about what we need, personally and professionally, because we get so so busy doing stuff and doing work for our clients or marketing ourselves or building your business that we it may be difficult to kind of distance yourself from it all and get a bird's eye view and better understand what you're doing and why, and if you're even enjoying it. And eventually you get stressed and overwhelmed and tired. And by recharging your batteries, you feel like, you know, you have more clarity. Is it why are you doing all this? And is it still important? Have your priorities changed? And you also feel more empowered, and you actually have the energy to do something about it and change your approach if you need to do it. And this can relate to relationships with clients, your workflow, your approach to marketing, your approach to network and interactions with colleagues, or involvement in professional associations, anything, or the type of work that you are doing. And sometimes it's really hard to pinpoint the problem. You're just feeling tired and negative, and you think that the whole world is out to get you. But once you have rested and taken a break and taken some distance from the situation, you can find a solution. Yeah. It's easier to do it when you have distanced yourself rather than when you're in the thick of it and you just feel tired and overwhelmed. So let's talk about what it looks like to take time off mindfully and how to plan for it. Not that I am a perfect example.
I don't think anybody I know is. I mean, I know a couple people who are very admirable, but I don't think anybody's perfect. So let's just not go for that, you know, like goal there.
So I know for me, and it, you know, I had a long corporate career before I became a freelancer. So I feel like, you know, my current habits and struggles are also related partially, at least, to that. But I really enjoy taking two long vacations when I can really unplug and rest. I feel like it's easier for me to unplug when I know I'm taking, you know, several or bunch of days off rather than just one or two. But I do take two long vacations, and one in the summer and one in the winter. And my goal is always to take one or two days off a month. It sometimes is a Friday, sometimes it's a Monday. Sometimes if it's a slower week, or I know it's a slower week coming after a very busy week, I'll actually take a day off on Monday and kind of extend my weekend a bit. And that always feels nice. I have two little kids, so my schedule is often dependent on their school schedule. So I look at their school schedule for the entire year, and I put everything that's going on, you know, in terms of holidays and summer and winter vacations and spring breaks and everything like this, and put this on my calendar so that it guides my schedule too. And as far as planning, I obviously set my out-of-office message. Also, because I work with some clients and groups of colleagues on Slack, I change my status on Slack. You can do that, and you can also schedule it so that it stays, for example, if I'm traveling or if I'm on vacation, I can put it on my status in Slack and set it up so that it stays that way until I come back, until a specific date, or else it can disappear like the next day. But that's the default option. So I always make sure that I schedule it there as well, so that if a colleague or a client is trying to reach me through Slack, as it often happens, they can see that I am not at my desk at the moment. And they can also see when I'm back. I always like to find a colleague or two who I can refer my clients to. And I will usually inform my regular clients 1 or 2 weeks in advance. I'll let them know that I'm planning to be away and for how long, and offer them to refer them to a colleague if they need something while I'm gone. And a nice surprise this last time when I took a long time, it's almost 3 weeks for Christmas and New Year's. Most of my regular clients said that they do have work in the pipeline, but they would rather wait for me.
That's a really nice feeling.
Yeah. And that was part of the reason I was so busy in January. I had a lot of clients who were waiting for my break to be over. And I usually send a message or an email to my regular clients a couple of days before I go on vacation too, to just say, hey, I'm about to leave, you know, but I'll be in touch when I'm back. And if you need anything, here's someone you can contact, who I know and trust. And, you know, as far as days off that I take for me, for my own mental health break, or just to unplug for a day or two, it does help to schedule those in advance. And I was really good about it last year. I followed your example, and I would schedule a day off every month. And I did have a reminder on my phone, in my calendar, like an alert to do it. And then I lost that habit.
Oh no.
So I really need to get back to it. Yeah.
Right. Do that today.
But as I said,
do it for next month.
Yeah.
Today.
Exactly. So what about you, Madalena? How do you take time off and how do you plan for it?
Yeah, this is interesting. And just listening to you, like a lot of the things you said, I do as well. So I'll try not to repeat too many things, but I think that you made some good points about letting your clients know ahead of time. Nobody likes to be surprised. If you are not in the habit of telling your clients ahead of time that you're going to be out of the office, you might want to do like we do and set a reminder. Reminders work super well. Say, okay, I know I'm going out of town these dates, and just set yourself a reminder for like 3 to 5 days before to tell your clients. You know, depending on the client, obviously, if you're not receiving any work from them, you know, you might not necessarily touch base with everybody, but you could actually. It's not a terrible idea to just sort of check in with clients and say, hey, you know, I know we haven't worked together on anything in a while, but I will have some more availability coming up after I get back to the office. I'll be off for the next few days or something like that. That's not a bad way to sort of touch base with clients. Another thing I like to do, and I have to say, I am always smiling when I see other colleagues who have jumped on my bandwagon. And that is, it's so funny. One of the most popular blog posts I've ever shared is the one about email signatures. And I have always put in my email signature, like my out of office dates that are coming up. And like so many other people have done it now. And I appreciate it because I can see too, like a lot of colleagues I work with regularly through the American Translators Association, I'm like, oh, okay, they're going to be out of office that day. And just the other day, I had a client compliment me. She goes, oh, I'm glad to know that. So we need to get this copy turned in and finalized before you go out of town next week. I'm like, exactly.
That's so nice.
Yeah, so it's just a little nudge, right, for people. And I put it in a different color. And I just write, you know, upcoming out of office dates. And I list them. And I just update it regularly. When the date has passed that I was out of the office, I take that off and I'm like, okay, are there any others coming up? And I add those, but I also tell people, because it's not like everybody's looking at your signature, but many people do pay attention. So that's a good one.
Yeah.
I also, like I said earlier, I try to schedule for the next month a day off, or if I know I'm taking like a day off because I'm traveling or something, sometimes I'll count that as my day off, but not always. Or if I have a lot going on, like so much so that I'm like, you know what, after this big project or after this maybe board meeting or something, I'm taking the next day or two off. I will do that as well. But I have to plan ahead, because if I don't, I will fill my schedule easily. Oh, yeah. It will be full. So that's something that I do. And then another thing I've shared here many times is I don't have my email on my phone. If I want to log into my email from my phone, I have to do it through the browser, which means I've got to, you know, go through the process of putting in the password and stuff. I've taken the apps off a long time ago. And so when I'm not working, if I want to see my email, it has to be a very conscious decision. But like you too, I also use things like Slack and other things. And I'm using Slack with at least one client now too. So I do set myself as a way. And you can also set Slack to turn off notifications at a certain time of day every day. And I do that too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, similarly to you, but I think the key is putting these things in place before you need them. I think that's the key to it all. Yeah,
exactly. And that email signature bit is really, it's such a great tip. And I also learned to do that after seeing your email signature a while ago. And I've recently seen an example of an email signature from another colleague where she informs her clients of her work schedule, what times, like, you know, what times of the day and which days of the week she is available and, you know, how they can reach her. And one of those days listed there is her, is a day she's not available because she's doing professional development. And I was like, this is such a cool thing to to list and mention, like, you know, for example, like on Fridays, I am not available. It's my continuing professional development day.
That's wonderful. Yes. And, you know, a lot of people feel very uncomfortable about communicating these things as if we don't all need time off, right? But I understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be kind of uncomfortable if you feel like, oh, they're going to think I can't work with them, or they're going to go find somebody else. But you know what? More than anything, people tend to not think that way. They're actually happier to know what to expect. I think if we've learned anything from the past 2 years, uncertainty is something people feel very uncomfortable with. So when you kind of give them some indication, whether you tell them outright or you do something like that, you put in your email signature or in your email, like, these are the days I'm working or available or not, people are more comfortable. They know what's coming up and they can plan for it. So that's a good tip. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to another sort of subtopic of this, and that is, what do you do to truly unplug and resist the temptation to do just a little bit of work or answer some important emails when you're taking time off? It can be really easy to convince yourself that something has come up and needs your immediate attention, or that you need to do something that will only take 5 minutes. And I am guilty of this. I have done this many, many, many times in the past, and I have to stop myself now. Even it's just the nature of what we do, right? We serve people, we serve our clients. We might just want to make people happy, right? But it is something you have to think about. And it is quite a temptation when you have time off, because you're thinking, you might even be thinking like, well, I'm not doing anything right now. I could take care of that, right? Like, you know, oh, I have some time this afternoon. I didn't have any plans, so why not? And that is a really easy way to fall back into working when you're supposed to be taking time off. So one thing, like I said, I do, I have taken my email off my phone. That is a huge thing, by the way. it's not an easy thing to do, because, you know, sometimes people do need you, but I feel like the people who need me the most, they know that they can call or text me anytime. I don't just give that out to everybody. So I feel like that's pretty clear. But also, I try to have set expectations with my clients and other people I work with beforehand. So like, my clients know I'm not answering them on Sundays. I'm not answering them on Saturday night. I'm not, you know, available to them at 7 p.m. on the weekdays or something like that. And if I do start answering them or start, you know, communicating with them, then that sends them a signal that I'm available when I'm not. And so that's the kind of thing that I think is important to remember, is that you can set the tone. I feel like a lot of times we think we're not in control of these things, and we completely are, but we have to take that control and take the initiative to do that. One thing I did want to mention here, though, is that something we said earlier was, we try to take time off, and part of that is for our own creativity, and we get ideas, and we feel recharged, or we feel re-energized, or whatever you want to describe that feeling as. But what we're not saying that you can't think about your business, right? Like me, I'm similar to you, I think, in that sense. When I take time off, I do get a lot of ideas, or I think, oh, I should take care of this next week, and I don't want to forget it. So what I do is I write it down. Right. So it's not working, but it is like making a note for myself. So when I am back to work, I will deal with that thing, or I will continue with that idea. And if it still feels important when I'm back to work, then I know it's important to me. Right. And so that's the kind of thing, like, we're not saying you shouldn't be thinking even about your business. And if you are, you should feel guilty. Not, absolutely not. But it is, you know, something to think about, like, what are you going to do when you do get that great idea? Do you have like a notes section on your phone, or do you want to send yourself a voice memo, or just make a written note on a post-it or something like that? And I think that that is a good way to sort of train yourself to relax while knowing that you will still come up with things that you want to think about, and just give yourself a reminder. And then you won't feel stressed that you might forget it or something. You know, that's something that I definitely do. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I agree that letting your brain know that you have handled the idea that came to mind is very helpful. It's helpful to me. I either do like a brain dump on a piece of paper, or like have a notepad handy, or You could also do it on your phone, like in a note. And I find that sometimes as time passes, the idea either has matured or you decided it's not relevant anymore, you know? So it's not like you're just letting yourself know, I'm not going to forget it. It's written down, and now you can relax again.
Yeah.
Yes. And having your mail off your phone is super helpful as well. I also don't have Slack on my phone either. It's something that's only on my computer. When I am taking time off, I shut down my computer and I put it away. I put it like in a drawer. I clear my desk. And I also like to lock the door to I have a home office. So I'll close the door and it's that way it's like out of sight, out of mind. And I know it's empty and it's like, you know, there's nothing there calling me. I also like to use an accountability factor. So I'll make sure family and friends know that I'm supposed to be taking time off. So they'll remind me if I get an urge or, you know, tell them, oh, I got to do this one little thing. Like, isn't it your time off?
I remember not so that long really ago, helpful. You took a day off and you told me what you were doing. I was like, that's not a day off.
That's not a day off. Yeah. And my family, my husband and my kids will also remind me
good.
If I'm steering the wrong direction. I also like to make a list of things. So as I'm getting ready for time off, you know, and I'm all excited for all this free time I'm going to have, I will make a list of things that I want to do to rest and relax, like maybe put a little stack of books that I want to read, or like put whatever, if there are any like activities that I want to do with my kids or something I want to do for myself, I'll make sure it's visible and I have, you know, maybe them written down so that they serve as a source of inspiration and a visual reminder. And if I'm taking a day off or a couple of days off, what works well for me is to schedule something fun or relaxing to do.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a visit to the spa, or maybe it's a lunch at a nice restaurant or a coffee with a friend. As long as it's not too many things, that doesn't work well. But something fun and relaxing to do that's like a reservation, a booking, something on your schedule that's helpful. So those would be my tips. And now we can talk about coming back to work after you have taken some time off. Sometimes it can be hard to get back into your routine after a long break. Or on the other hand, you can also quickly go back to your old ways and feel tired again shortly after your break. So how do you ease back into work mode and pace yourself? I have shared before that I like to schedule an extra day off after my vacation or a trip, so that I have that extra day off to sort of ease my way back into work mode and get the stuff done that I think is important to me. Well, for others, I'm still not back yet. And I also find it helpful to make a list and prioritize, because as you come back to work, especially if it was a long break, there's so many things and they all seem urgent because you've been away for a while. So I will make a list and I will prioritize what's important to you. Is it, you know, high importance or something that can wait? And what are some things that are important to others and how urgent are they? So it helps to, at least helps me as a visual person to have, you know, get that prioritization done, and that makes it more clear what is really a short list of things that need to get done first. And also to stick to a reasonable schedule, not like jump into work right away and work for 8 to 10 hours straight after you've been on vacation or on a trip for a while, so that you don't burn out on your first day. Do you have any other tips?
Yeah, I mean, all of those are really excellent. And I agree with you on all of that. So I do find that it is hard sometimes to get back into a routine after a long break. And I think the fact that we can talk about that, and like people do talk about it. I'm not saying people don't. But what I mean is, like, it's that way for everybody. So like, I know a lot of people feel bad about that, but I think nobody should, because that's just us saying like, wow, I really needed that break. You know, and it also means that you actually took the break that you needed, because if it feels hard, it's because you did you know, take the break that you needed. And I think for me, it is sort of like one thing that makes me feel more put together when I come back is to have, like you said, things sort of prioritized. Most of us know when we come back what we need to do. I mean, unless you've completely disconnected mm-hmm. from the world before you left, right, which most of us don't. Mm-hmm. And while you're gone, then you probably have an idea of what you need to look at first or handle first and second and so on. Mm-hmm. But I think what you said was really important, that you need to look at what is important for you first. And that's not always the same as what's important for other people. I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. it does match up, but it's not always the same thing. And some people may think, well, oh my gosh, well, you know, no, I need to get back to what other people need because I've been taking care of myself all this time. That's not it. That's not what this is about. This is like saying, I took the time that I needed for myself. I put myself first. Now we're done with that, right? That's not okay. So the idea being that for you to do your best work, you do need to take care of what you need to take care of first, and then you can help other people, which is a lot easier mm-hmm. said than done. But so one thing I do is I prioritize, like you said, I sort of set out what I need to do first, and then I do let people know that I'm back when I'm ready to, right? Even if I've told them I'm mm-hmm. only out these days, I will not just start immediately like emailing everybody back or, you know, like saying, hey, mm-hmm. I'm here. I will do it when I'm ready so that I feel like, okay, now that I've gotten these things squared away, I can deal with what other people need. And I think that's important. Let's see, what else is a good tip for easing back into it? I think you said something that I really liked as well, is setting a set schedule and not just like trying to catch up and work until late hours and all of that. Yeah. That's just going to put you back into a place of burnout if that's where you came from, or it could send you on your way. So it's just not a good way to work. Taking breaks is also really important during the day to give yourself a rest mm-hmm. And get back to it. This sounds a little bit silly, but something I really like to do is if I come back from a trip or something, or I come back from time off and I'm feeling pretty refreshed, I like to sit down at my desk and sort of ease into it with like a warm cup of coffee and a candle or something, like something that's like not just like mm-hmm. flipping a light switch on. You know what I mean? Like it is really like, as we're saying, easing into it, because it does take a mm-hmm. little bit of time. It might take a day. It might take 3 days. You just never know. It might take a week. And so that I think that that's important because it sort of has to do with your physical surroundings, but also it plays into your senses. And we don't really talk about that here much, but I think that's something to think about is to think about what you're sensing as well from your environment. And to sort of give yourself the whole week to catch up and not think, oh my God, I need to be caught up by the end of the day. So that is mm-hmm. a mental thing to think about too. Honestly, to tell you the truth, sometimes it takes me like 2 weeks to catch up on certain things because I've been out. I try not to let something take that long, but that goes back to the idea of prioritizing things. Like, does this need to be handled right away? If there's something else that needs to be handled first, that's where I should go first. That helps to steer clear of some of the overwhelm, I think, too, that comes with that. So let's see. So why does it feel so difficult to take time off? That is the big question, is it not? Yeah. And how can we change that? So I think that as freelancers, we often feel guilty about taking time off because we feel like we're neglecting our businesses, or what if an important client needs something, or what if there's no work when we return, or can we afford to take time off? And those are all personal questions that people need to determine mm-hmm. for themselves. But I will say that the ones related to like, what if an important client needs something, or what if there's no work when you return? Those are what I would consider worst case scenarios that pretty much never happen, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I'm pretty sure like 9 times out of 10, that would never happen. So I would just assume that, you know, chances are good that that's not the case. Yeah, it might be a little slow when you get back to work, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be that way forever. So it's sort of what we've discussed here before about feast and famine. Like the famine's not going to last forever if you feel like you're in a famine. Mm-hmm. So think of it that way. Can you afford to take time off? Look, Be honest with yourself. If you can't afford to take time off, take an afternoon off. If you can't afford to take off 3 weeks, take off, you know, an hour early, you know, 3 out of 5 days during the week. Like, do the little things that you need to do to feel the way that you want to feel. I have a client that says that, and I think that that's really important. Do the things you need to do to feel the way you want or need to feel. And so, but that doesn't, you know, always get rid of the guilt of things, right? Because there is some guilt that comes with taking time off. And I think that's an interesting topic. Yeah. That might be a whole different episode. But you have to maybe think about, where does that guilt come from? For me, it comes from the fact that I feel like other people, what's important to them, many times should be important to me. And it's not always the case, right? So I like to work with other people. And so I think that maybe this is perhaps this is something that has to do with people pleasing. I'm not sure. But I like to do what I can for people when they ask me, as much as possible, obviously. I'll be honest if I can't do it. But at the same time, I think that collaboration is really important to me. So I sometimes might feel like I'm taking time out off could be like sort of like missing out on what I maybe feel like I should be doing or that I want to do, maybe something like that. So there can be some guilt there, but also the way that I grew up, and I think you're going to maybe mention something like this about you, but it was important in my household. And I think culturally for my family that you do what's right for the bigger cause, for the greater good, right? So, and that can sometimes come back to you as you put yourself last, right? And I think that's part of the guilt that comes with this, as we think, well, no, I'm okay. Like, I don't feel that tired. I'll just keep going, you know, that kind of a thing. Or, I should really be doing this. That should question. I knew for me a couple of years ago that it became a problem when I did take an afternoon off, and I felt very anxious about the fact that I was probably, I needed to check in on whatever was going on. And I was like, no, I really don't, you know? And so that is that's a flag. If you feel like you constantly need to be checking in, and that is not an unusual thing. Like, don't feel like that's something that's only you. A lot of people deal with that. So it is something to think about. But when it comes to affording it, I think budgeting for it is important, and not all of us are good at this. But I think, you know, we have colleagues like Corinne McKay, who talks about budgeting for a vacation each year. I think that, and Susie Jackson, who talk about these things, I think that's extremely important. Maybe take a little bit of each check and put it aside for a vacation or a short like weekend away or whatever, just like you would put money away for taxes. You know, I think that that's really something to think about, because you are investing in yourself. And when you invest in yourself, you invest in your business. Which, you know what, I think Corinne just posted that this week. We keep talking about Corinne, but now that I think that that came up at the time we're recording that, that she said something like that, right? And I was like, yes, absolutely. So
exactly.
But so I think there's a lot there. And sometimes it takes like sitting down with yourself and unpacking that, like, is this a problem for me on a regular basis, or do I just feel guilty right now because there's a big project? Or is this something I tend to have a problem with, and maybe I need to think about, you know, what I should try to do differently to make it make myself more comfortable taking time off, right? What would you add to that?
Oh, really great tips. And I thought of Corinne's blog post as well. It's the one she wrote a while ago, but we can link to that. It's about budgeting for long vacation, and it's really helpful. Yeah, I have several like kind of savings accounts where I put money aside from each paycheck. So I think I shared that in the past. I have like one for professional development even. So it's a good idea to put some money aside for that can serve as kind of your vacation fund. I also think that it's yet another reason to work on your network and nurture your relationships with colleagues, to find translation partners or editing partners, however you want to call it, but someone you trust and someone whose work you trust, their quality of their work. And it helps me tremendously to take time off and to go on a long vacation, knowing that my clients are well taken care of, and I'm also referring work to a good colleague. Like, you know, I'm someone who, like you, also love collaboration, love helping people out. So that's a really important factor to me. So that makes it a little easier for me to take time off, knowing that I'm helping others at the same time. Planning ahead is super helpful too. And I also like the idea of take half days if you can't take a full day off or longer. Even a half day can make a difference. And I have done that when I wasn't great at taking real time off, and like real day off, half day can be really helpful. And even like on a day where you're, you know, just efficient and you got stuff done that you needed to get done and you still have a few hours left of the day, just take that time off if you can, you know, just tell if there's nothing burning and urgent that you need to get done, everything else can wait. Just take that time off. Go take a walk, meet a friend, read a book outside. And it's also, like you said, it's not all about time management and efficiency or ability to prepare yourself for taking time off. It can be a mindset issue. And as I recently started working with a therapist, and I realized that if it's truly a, you know, a challenge for you, like it is for me to take time off, it can just be a thing that you need to work through with the help of a professional. Because I was brought up with the idea that if you can get something done right away, do it. And once you're done doing your work, then rest.
Yeah.
But the problem
is, so many of us, I think.
Yeah. And the problem is that as you get older, work never ends.
Yeah.
you cannot just complete all the work and then take the rest, you know, take your well-deserved rest, because you can work all week without taking a break. Yeah. There's always enough work. Yeah. And it's also important to, like, especially if you're just getting started as a freelancer, just think about the fact that you will need time off, even if it doesn't seem that way at the beginning. And you think, all I want is to get enough work to be busy and work for good clients. You need to reflect that in your rates. You do need time off and you need to budget for it. And make sure your rates reflect the fact that you will be taking some time off. So this seems like a logical place to end this conversation, but I know we will be coming back to this topic in the future as we help each other walk the talk and take time off regularly.
Yep.
But we hope this, we hope that you found this episode helpful. Please let us know if you have any specific struggles with taking time off or strategies that help you enjoy a well-deserved break now and then. You can leave a comment on the show notes page for this episode, which you'll find on our website, or you can tag us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, or you can email us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. And before we go, let's share a favorite read for our Book Nook segment. What do you think?
Awesome. Yes, let's do that. So for me, I have just finished, it's not a new book, but it is a book that I've been meaning to read. And I actually listened to this one because I love when an author I really like, or a speaker, and she's a speaker too, reads their own work. So I just finished Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. I don't know if we've mentioned that before. Have you read that one?
I haven't read it yet. No, but it's on my
list. Good. It's good. She's wonderful. I actually suggest with work like hers to listen to it, because sometimes it's a little harder to get through the book because she does talk about her research a lot. And sometimes when you have professional jobs like we do, obviously you're reading research quite a bit and it's very interesting, but I really just, it's so nice hearing it from her. And she has a very lovely way of talking, and it's a wonderful book. I highly recommend Daring Greatly. So what about you?
I am reading A Slow Fire Burning by Paula Hawkins right now. I haven't read that yet.
Okay. I love Paula Hawkins.
It's really good. And I checked my local library and they had several copies available, so I was really glad I was able to snatch one. So I'm reading it now and I find it really helpful. The fact that you're borrowing the book from the library, you're kind of on the timeline, you know, to finish reading it and not put that aside and be like, I'll read it later. And it's a really good thriller, and I've learned to really enjoy a good thriller. So it's really good. I really enjoyed her What's the other book? Oh, the girl. She wrote The Girl on the Train, I think, too, mm-hmm. right?
I think it was her. That was something.
really great book. Mm-hmm. And this one so far is, I'm halfway through, and it's really, it's different, of course, but it's really, really good, too. And I really like that, too. It's kind of like you think you understand where things are going, and then you get a twist there.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're picking up more thrillers like me.
I'm trying to. I'm being more mindful of alternating the types of books mm-hmm. I read.
Yeah.
Because I will also read a lot in Russian. So I'll mm-hmm. deliberately read a book in Russian, and then I'll pick one in English. And as I read those two, I alternate between fiction and nonfiction. Mm-hmm. And for fiction, too, like, you know, if it's a thriller or something of more like also like a light read, but not necessarily a thriller. So I'm trying to really deliberately alternate genres and languages and so on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. Okay. So that's a wrap on this episode. Our email subscribers will get a summary of the episode, including the links to all the resources we mentioned today. So if you're not receiving our emails yet, you can sign up on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
And if you liked this episode, we'd love it if you shared with a colleague or friend and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. This only takes a minute, and we recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it. You can find it in our show notes.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.